Okay, let's see. I'm unmuted. I am unmuted. Otherwise, he'd be saying something right about now. I have everything, timer ready, and it's rolling. Material ready, images ready, music ready. Luca, you're on air. Oh, hello, everybody. This is Luca Mino. We're back. Very funny. Well, I'm just lightening up. You know what I mean? After all these years. Like that song, Paul Simon, After All These Years, right? You know what I mean? It's really good to be back. And it's learn to unlearn all the way. Absolutely. I got you loud and clear, too. Sounds great. Yes, it does. Even though I can't hear myself very good. That's the only thing. I wish I could hear myself just a little bit. Can you turn up my monitor, please? You know? Speaking of monitor, I'm going to be back on stage pretty soon, but I don't want to go too far away. First of all, we have to do what we always do. We have to thank the producer for being there, Mr. Super Producer, and thank everybody in the chat. And I see quite a few of them there already. And Annie, of course, the mother of, you know, the mother of it all. Like she's the site mother, you know, like in Aliens, they called her the mother, you know, or the queen. There you go. So it's good to be back. Today, we're going Native American again. Oh, again? These are really good teachings. I'm finding a lot out about myself, too. Did you say anything, Steve? Did I did say hello to you, but you didn't say anything. I can't go without hearing his voice.
No, you didn't say nothing to me.
I wanted to say thank you to our super producer, Steve.
Oh, okay.
Didn't I?
Well, yeah, but you didn't bring me in.
I said it really quick. Okay, so you are there. And thank you for everything you do. And yes, my shows are going on his website, cancelthecabal.net. Very important for me to thank him for that as well, because that's a lifesaver. And it'll be really good for, you know, to spread his word around as well. The Sun Elk teachings are really important for me, because they are a part of me, because that happened to me, literally. I want to talk about that. We're going to go through my favorite memes of the week again, as well. Touching on quite a few things, as we love to do, or as I love to do. Something called androgynous, a word I didn't really come across very often. Androgynous? Wow. Between male and female. Right. We're going to be talking about the war against women also. And I'm taking you back to a really good song. Robin Trower kicking off something called Bridge of Sighs, which I know people on here must love, because it's our time. And Luca came home. Let's start there. Luca came home. Okay, what you just heard, that clip of that song. Why don't I start with that? Because then if they come after me for copyright infringement and everything, you owe us for every single time. Okay, well, you know what? This is funny, because I've tried to email them. I've tried to go after her producer, I think, the first time. Then it was I tried to get information from her from YouTube, and then it turned out to be her manager. Then I tried to, you know, even her record company. I tried, would you get a hold of her, please, for me and ask her? I was asking permission for quite a while now. So I figure if they ever come back, it's recorded today for me saying, well, you know what? Why don't we just settle it this way? Why don't I go and play a track for you on the drums on your next album, or invite me to a live concert and I'll sit in on this, on that song. How's that? And you can have a copy of the show too. Isn't that cute? I had to say that because her song is personal. Luca came home. Well, check this out. So did Sun Elk. And you know what? I'm going to start with that, because that is too perfect, since there's no such thing as coincidence. Okay. They didn't know what to do with me one summer. I believe it was my 16th year, if I'm not mistaken, 16, 17, whatever. They didn't know what to do with me. So there's this Hyde School, Hyde, in Bath, Maine, way out in the boonies where you can't escape. You know what I mean? This is like a private school, and I've been used to going to private schools in Switzerland. They've tried to give me private therapy my whole life, because I've been so much, you know, unlike all the others, you know, all the others, my brother and my brother and sister. So off I went to high school. Little do they know, or little did I know. Okay, I'll put you in the scene if you'd like. There's a ditch, a 3 foot deep ditch that I'm in with a shovel, and it's pouring rain, and I don't have a raincoat. And the principal walks by with his raincoat and an umbrella and looks at me and says, keep digging the ditch until there's no water left. And I watch him taking off, walking off. And I just drop my shovel. And I hitchhiked home. That was the second time, I believe, I did that. And coming home, my mother opens the door and she says, oh, we can't let you in. Well, you see, we've signed a contract with the school. And if the kids try to run away, the parents do not accept them home. And that's something that my parents had to agree to. I looked at my mother. I said, just put the Honda on the road for me, would you please? And I'll just leave and I'll just go. And she did. And I left. And I was not accepted back home. I was not accepted in the family for quite a while. Anyway, that was one of them. But you know what? I find a parallel with Sun Elk because it's not as well, you know, people could say it is as tragic. OK, Sun Elk was ripped away from the arms of his loving family by church and state of the United States of America and Canada. You know, both of them. Take your pick. OK. In this case, Sun Elk was taken away and put in the residential schools for years, not allowed to speak his language. His hair was cut. His culture was canceled, as we know. Okay? And then the schools close years afterwards. What happens? Well, send him home. Okay, but what about in the school? Well, they told us, and this is a quote from his book, and this is a very important lesson. You'll see where this is going. This is called He Is Not One of Us. They told us that Indians were bad. Indians' ways were bad. They told us we had to get civilized. I remember that word, too. It means be like the white man. I am willing to be like the white man, but I don't believe Indians' ways were wrong. They kept trying to teach us, severely beating us if we disagreed, you know, that you know, for 7 years, this was the case. Indian ways were wrong and they were bad. And all the books told me how bad Indians had been to the white people, burning down their towns and killing their women and children. But I had seen white men doing that to Indians. We all wore white man's clothes and we ate white man's food and we went to white man's churches and spoke white man's talk. And after a while, we too began to say Indians were bad. We laughed at all their own, you know, their people. We laughed at our own people and their blankets and cooking pots and sacred ceremonies and dances. I tried to learn the lessons, but after 7 years, I came back home. Okay? It was a warm summer evening when I got off the train at Taos Station. I think I told this story before, too. The first Indian I met, no, actually I didn't because I just got a hold of this script because I was looking so hard for it. I finally found it again. So I must have paraphrased it before, but this is the first reading, I do believe. The first Indian I met at Taos Station, I asked him to run to the Pueblo and tell my family I was home. The Indian couldn't speak English and I had forgotten my Pueblo language, as we know, forcefully, right? But after a while, he learned what I meant and started running around and smiling and running back to the Pueblo saying, Tulto is back. Tulto is back. I went home with my family. And the next morning, the governor of the Pueblo and two war chiefs, accompanied by many priest chiefs, came into my father's house. They did not look at me. They did not even talk to me. They were assembled. They took their time to get assembled, and then they spoke to my father. Your son, who calls himself Raphael, has lived with the white men. He has been far away from the Pueblo. He has not lived in the Kiva. He does not, He has not learned the things that Indian boys should learn. He has no hair. He has no blankets. He cannot even speak our language. And he has a strange smell. He is not one of us. See? You don't play the game, you're not one of us. You're not one of them. And it's tragic because you get ripped out of your own family setting, literally ripped out of it, forced into that new culture, and then you finally get a chance to come home and you get thrown out of your home. That's, you know, Luca comes home to his teachings, and his teachings are going to be the reason why Luca is alienated. That's how they do this. It's incredibly evil how the system was built. And this is, I'm living proof of it. You can't make this stuff up, right? So I had to share that because, you know, between Luca came home and Son Elk, it's like, and the things that I'm learning about staying true to myself, about how to deal with people that laugh at you. Oh, Hitler killed, what did he say? Hitler killed 65 million people, and you're trying to tell me he was a godsend of Europe, something like that. He had seen one of my posts or something, or I had answered one of his because Hitler had his hand in his jacket, and everybody thinks Illuminati. No. When a German officer puts his hand halfway inside his jacket like that, inside his uniform, it's a sign of honor to his men. It's signifying the honor and the respect to, see, nobody has any idea, right? And just today, I'm going to be sharing something about that as well before I get into anything else. And I'm showing the picture to Steve at the moment, if he looks at it. And it's putting yourself in other people's shoes, something that most people have a very difficult time doing, or they won't at all. And I'm sitting here, German as I am, trying to ask people, like, come on, entertain the fact, what if? Okay? The more intelligent you are, the more you can entertain what if. So, okay, well, let's entertain it. Well, you know what? A meme drops from the sky again on Facebook, right on my lap. They will never understand the joy, the brotherhood, and unity we shared under Hitler's reign. The Western capitalistic minds cannot comprehend such oneness. They must immediately dismiss it. They must dismissively reason, dismissively reason that it must be mass psychosis and not brotherly love. See, it's actually not that. It's actually one step further than that, I think. And Steve, you can jump in anytime, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's people judge because it's so easy. Thinking is too difficult. And in Hitler's Germany's case, I'm sorry, but it looks more and more deliberate. From the international Zionist movement's part, the ones that created Israel, and if you look at World War II, this is where it's coming out. And I guess this is one of the things that I'm meant to speak on, because if we can't entertain the other side, we'll never learn anything. If we're going to sit here and judge everything, we're not going to learn anything at all. It's all going to go right to the wayside. Because the whole idea is not to judge. Because the more you learn, the more you see how little you know. So, no, I'm not in a position to judge anybody. No, thank you. My disclaimer itself started as, don't believe me, do your own research. Right? I would say happily, that's how I would start in the beginning of my episodes. And I have to keep saying this to myself and to you more and more often. It's like now it's got nothing to do with truth. Actually, everybody thinks, oh, he's going on the air with his version of the truth. No, it's not my version. Actually, I don't even want to use that word because that's almost ego. I know the truth. It's not at all that. This is what I've collected in my work. This is what resonates with me in my research, and this is what I want to share with you. This is what I have prepared for you, my audience. See? And That's how I want to deal with it. That's how I want to have it come out as. Okay, so I'm going to quickly speak about this young lady here. This is unbelievable. If I had a picture, I wish I could share it with you, but I can't. Chess grandmaster. That would be Anna Muzychuk. Muzychuk or Muzychuk. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. It's about her refusing to play in Saudi Arabia. Chess grandmaster. Okay. Gorgeous Anna says, in a few days, I'm going to lose two world titles, one after the other, because I decided not to go to Saudi Arabia. She says, by the way, the abaya is a simple, loose overgarment, essentially a robe-like dress that some women in parts of the Muslim world may be forced to wear. Sometimes they're called an abba. So she says, I refuse to play by their rules, wear abaya, and be accompanied by a man so I can get out of the hotel, so I don't feel like a second-class person. She says, I will follow my principles and not compete in the Fast Chess and Blitz World Championship, where in 5 days I could have made more money than in dozens of other combined tournaments. It's a very unpleasant, it's all very unpleasant, she says, but the sad part is that no one seems to care. Bitter feelings, but I can't go back. She says, and she
won't.
I bet
the feminists don't care.
Huh?
But the feminists don't care.
And who created the feminist movement, right? You know what I mean? It's pathetic. Every single thing that you go into turns up to be a rabbit hole. And from that, there's really, it's something to ponder. There's something about the mouse in the jar. Did you hear about that, Steve?
Mouse in a jar. No.
They have a mouse in a full jar of grain, and he's sitting on the top of it. Okay. A mouse is placed at the top of a jar filled with grains. He's so happy to find as much food around him as he can, no longer feels the need to run around, the need to search for food. So now he's happily, and he's living his life, right? After a few days of enjoying the grains, he reaches the bottom of the jar. Suddenly he realizes he's trapped and he can't get out. So now he realizes he's fully dependent on someone to put grains in the jar for him to survive. He knows now he has no choice but to eat what he's given. So you can imagine what the lessons are from that one. And there are a couple. See, this is on Facebook, too. Like, this is exactly what we need to hear. It's exactly what we need to be sharing and teaching each other. One, short-term pleasures can lead to long-term traps. You know, these are all clues for me, too. The person saying it. Two, if things come easy and you get comfortable, you're going to get trapped into dependency. And that's going to be my next thing I'm going to talk about right after this before I forget, because I didn't even plan this. Three, when you're not using your skills, you will lose them. You'll lose more than your skills. You'll lose your choices and your freedom. Four, freedom does not come easy, but can be lost quickly. So can your reputation. nothing comes easily in life, and if it comes easily, maybe it's not worth it. See, so now, no, not yet, Luca. Okay. Don't curse your struggles. They are your blessings in disguise. Read that again. That's what it says. So what I'm saying is, well, if I'm a government and I want to control everybody, what's the thing to do? Well, get them insecure, get them dependent, get them arrogant, get them stupid, get them lazy, get them unmotivated, and give them everything. Okay? Listen to this. So when you think for yourself, right? You do things for yourself. what happens? You become what? Self-reliant, self-sufficient, individuality develops, right? Character, self-respect, and independence. And all that breeds good pride, not ego. You're proud of yourself. It's a motivational feeling, a feeling of protection also, and security, which I feel all the time in my spirituality. So you start getting vocal, you start getting more courageous. Truth starts teaching you more how to stand up for it, like I just started the show explaining. You get more vocal. So what happens to you when you do everything for everyone? What happens then? You know that thing, don't do anything for anybody that they can do themselves, right? That's why. Because you become that list that I just gave you, insecure, dependent, arrogant, stupid, lazy. These people in the homeless camp somewhere around here, they get food because people go by all the time. They get free cell phones. They get money from the government every month. Really? They get tents with insulation? And they look at you and it's like, well, why would we work? We got everything we need. And on the smartphones, you can get Hulu. You can get all that. You can get all that stuff for free. Why would we go? See, this is what I mean. So the government knows. And on top of that, you piss off the American public even more by saying, we're going to take care of the people coming into this country illegally even better than we would take care of the Americans themselves, right? Oh, Annie, I actually saw one guy. He's in California, right? And he's coming out of his tent. UPS stops for him. He pulls out his iPhone. He's got a nice set of shoes on. I shouldn't see iPhone because I don't know if it's an iPhone. It is a smartphone. Nice brand new set of shoes, it looks like, right? Oh, yeah. And they tell you, what do I have to work for? Okay, how to destroy a society without firing a shot. That's what I'm really having a hard time with. And I'm seeing that and I'm going, okay. It's in our face all the time. It blows me away. So when we come back from my little music interlude, I'm going to take you somewhere else. Don't go away. Okay, so I have a question. Does anybody remember this? Does this sound familiar to anybody? I can't play around with the volume too much. I hope you can hear me over it. But this is what I used to play with my band. This is Robin Trower, Bridge of Sighs. And that song. Okay, so we'd start that song. I'm sorry, I can't play it too loud. And I can't control the volume very well. We would start, that song was a sound check, and B, just to see what the room sounded like. It was a perfect, introduction song or an instrumental. That's the word I'm looking for. And it, we would play a couple of bars cause you know, the guy actually sings in the song. If you guys know it, and, it was kind of our, you know, okay, so you get these people in front that are ready to dance and they can't wait to hear, you know, CCR and you know, what is it? ZZ Top and all the other stuff that they love to dance to that, you know, and here's the band that starts with this. People are looking at us, dropping their arms. They're like, you know, I thought we were going to have a dance band. Can you play something that we can dance to? Right? Give me a break. So now my problem is, well, I may as well do the music sound, the music segment. I was going to say soundtrack. Because I want to play a couple of measures of Snarky Puppy. If you guys have heard of him, I played one of their tracks once. Snarky Puppy, S-N-A-R-K-Y, and Puppy. Their live songs, wow. They're recorded live, so there's no overdubs, okay? The horn section is in back. The keyboard player, the keyboards sections, okay, there are several of them, three or four of them. They're on one side, next to the horns. The bass player, the guitar players are in back on the other side. The drummer's in the middle. The orchestra pit is right in the middle of everybody. And you're watching this all go down. I don't know how many. They must have five or six cameras rolling at the same time with the same track. It's flawless. And this is what they sound like. And what I did is I just did a loop of the first eight measures. Just try and find the one, okay? Try and find the beat in this song. Boy, and I'm going to get in trouble if I keep playing it too long, but that's the riff of it, right? And it's not how they start either. They're so orchestrational. It blows me away. They start completely differently. It sounds like a jazz tune when they start it. So if you go looking for the song with that lick, you won't find it because that one's buried. That's actually the lick of their song, as they call it, the hook. Oh, baby. And I don't really like the song that much after that because they fly away from that, even though they come back to it and they use that pattern for the solos, which is incredible. Keyboard player like I've never seen. Dexterity like I've never seen from a musicians. Like you're sitting there going, I've been a musician for how long? What am I missing? You know, where did I drop off somewhere? When we come back after the break, man, this is going by fast. We're going to go to a post-human future. And this is going to be dedicated to Steve. And I'll tell you why. Because Steve is helping me learn how to read, and he doesn't even know it. When I came in with you guys the last time Steve was on talking about his readings and doing his show, I was there listening and this guy's just talking like a dad putting his child to sleep. This is the reading. This is, you know, completely calm. I'm surprised I didn't fall asleep. Okay, so I'm learning how to relax while I'm reading. So this is really good for me at the same time because, like I was saying in the chat before the show, my spirit is seriously
I'm surprised anybody listens because I got so much brain fog.
You're really, good, Steve. You have a knack for I don't know what it is. You're just so low key, and you sound like you live it every day. See, that's what I want to sound like when I'm reading. You sound like you're living it, you're breathing it, you're eating it, and it's a part of you. It's really cool. A lot of people don't have that. I'm trying to get it. Annie was nice enough to say that, you know, I am reading better. It's difficult. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to do my tongue twister of a reading from a woman who just says, hey, you want answers to what's going on? You want to hear the Protocols of Zion in action? You want to hear a sum total of all of Luca's shows until now? Here it is. That's basically it. I think it's going to be, 5 minutes of reading? I don't know how long it's going to take, but we're going to do it when we come back. And I'm going to wet my whistle behind a commercial for TLB Talk. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around, and be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Good idea. Why don't we do that? And you'll be joining me at the same time is what you'll be doing, because I'm over there with my, I don't know how many thousands of pictures, waiting and just amassing this stuff. So I had to, you know, TikTok always comes out with these things that you can put music to. The music is always too loud. How many times have you seen a documentary where the music is just, you know, if you were mixing, you would have just turned the music just down just a little bit more so you could hear the essence of the narration a bit more. Well, in this case on TikTok, she said it. And the music was too loud, as far as I'm concerned. And plus, she has an accent, so it was kind of hard to understand. So here I am writing it all out. There's Luca with his iPad on one side, writing it down and playing it on the iPhone so I could, you know, read it. And it's called The Post-Human Future. The final goal is to eradicate humanity as we know it. Once you understand the final destination, it becomes much easier to look back and identify the psychological conditioning, the biological tampering, the cultural grooming, the educational prepping that we have been subjected to for decades in preparation to making us accept a post-human future. It takes a lot of physical and psychological abuse to get an intelligent species like ours to agree to its own extinction. Most, if not all, that has transcended in the past 60 years has been designed to get us closer to accepting such a dystopian reality. Whether you care to accept it or not, we live in a hyper-controlled matrix where our own perception of reality is meticulously planned, managed, and executed in order to control and steer us in the direction which they wish. And the direction is a post-human world. She really wrote that well. I got to give it to her. And she reads it really well. For this, they first needed to destabilize, dehumanize, and demoralize humanity through every means possible. The destruction of the nuclear family. See, this is where the Protocols of Zion comes in. Listen to this. The destruction of the family, children being indoctrinated by the state, abortion, the eradication of God and spirituality from education. That's a big one. Life in megacities away from nature. Toxic food, air, and water, social media replacing real human connection and interaction. I swear I've talked about every single one of these so far in every one of the shows. Engineered financial crises and taxation, endless wars, massive migration, stress, anxiety, depression, drugs, alcohol, constant fear-mongering, moral relativism is the new religion. That's one you guys might be able to help me out with. I don't get that. I don't understand that yet. Moral relativism is the new religion. Maybe you guys can entertain me on that one. But she goes on to say, and I could go on and on about how humanity has been influenced and forced to move away from all the things that gave us strength, security, purpose, and meaning. A weak, immoral, disconnected, ignorant, and unhealthy population is an easy target for the next stage, the creation of an entire generation of androgynous beings. Wow. So you look at what androgynous is in the dictionary. Adjective, partly male and partly female in appearance, of intermediate sex, I believe. Having physical characteristics of both sexes, right? This is what they want. They're perverts. This is exactly what they want. Masculinity is under attack psychologically, culturally, and biologically. Women are being replaced in sports, entertainment, and politics by men pretending to be women. And they make it so that they can laugh at us, the United States, by showing who works with the president, right? I've talked to you about that before. You know, couldn't be more perverse and pedophilia style than anything. Oh, I'm sorry, it's minor attracted to. I beg your pardon. Like, you know, like the flag on the White House, right? They're letting us know what they're doing. Oh, you know, and children. This is her thing while writing this. I know it is because she ends with this. And children are being indoctrinated at school to think that that gender is a choice. How do you like them apples? Why? They're attacking the kids. Why do they attack the kids? Because they know they don't have enough life experience. They offer something that's cool. What do you think they're going to do? Mom, guess what? Dad, guess what? No, you're not. You know? Immediately cause problems with because they want to do away with the family unit. Remember that meme? You mean to tell me, Mom, that I can't choose my bedtime, but I can choose my gender? Well, there it is again, Luca. You want validation for that too? Let's keep going. The transgender movement is not a grassroots movement. It comes from the top, she says. It has nothing to do with a person's freedom of expression, sexuality, or civil rights. It's an evil psyop with a clear agenda to get us closer to transhumanism by making us question the most fundamental notion of human identity, our gender. And that's where she gets a standing ovation. And she says, thank you, really, really gently, because she's so humbled. If you don't know who you are, if you're already identifying as a hybrid between a man and a woman, a little caveat here about the litter boxes that were introduced to the Illinois schools for kids who would, identify as an animal. Okay? Think about it. And that is true because I know that did happen. So, you know what I mean? Okay, so if you don't know who you are, if you already identify as a hybrid between a man and a woman, you will be easily convinced to become a hybrid between a man and machine. Gender ideology is the 2 + 2 = 5 from George Orwell's 1984. His dystopian novel is the final test to see whether we will follow the most absurd party line towards our own extinction. But she concludes by saying 2 + 2 = 4. And no matter how you choose to dress, call yourself, or change your physique, it will not change that. The sad reality, though, is that in this gaslighting process to get us closer to a post-human future, they have mentally and physically harmed an increasing number of children and young people, and it's only getting worse. This must be stopped, she says. And thank you, Moon, for saying that in the chat. It's fun. It's good to have people that are awake. Wow, I've already talked about the music segment. We're heading along really nicely here. I have a post from the UN. You know, the picture of the UN that everybody's used to seeing, the rows of chairs or the benches and that orange whatever thingy standing there in the middle with the symbol on it of the UN, right? The UN picture everybody's used to seeing. Okay, and it says, we should all have the right to accessible clean water. we should all have the right to accessible, sustainably produced food. Next month, we're part of a proud coalition accepting the UN Human Rights Prize for advocating the right to a healthy environment. We must defend these basic rights no matter the circumstance. And some people stood up and clapped and gave them a standing ovation. You know what? Another side simply says, huh, UN, Rockefeller founded, Rockefeller funded, the UN is there to protect them from the rest of us. During and after they draw up fake laws, and I do say fake laws against us, against all of us. And remember, in the beginning, right, Rockefeller, and I'm going to do a show or two on him, it's coming, Rockefeller held the White House and the Treasury in his hand in that commercial, remember, in that cartoon, I mean. Oh, what a strange little government. Because at that time, John D. Rockefeller, I don't think I'm mistaken with the John D., Rockefeller had more resources at his disposal than the entire federal government had at that time. See? And also, because of that posting of the post-human future, which is what that woman spoke about so candidly, about the, you know, destroying masculinity and the original male and destroying the sacred female, this entire trans movement not being grassroots, okay? And coming, everything's pretty well coming directly from the Protocols of Zion. You can't say that they're not. I'm going to be developing a segment in my shows. It's going to be called The War Against Women. And you just heard the first segment today with the chess master, Anna. So I kind of did this segment backwards, but that's okay. It's because it's important to me. And I want to do like a mural, like you know, the music segment is. I want to do something really important, a pillar, there you go, for women. And it's going to be called The War Against Women. Part one was today. So... you're the first radio show to ever hear it. And it's a pleasure. It's an honor to do it for you about historical subjects, whatever they're called, whatever comes in, you know, into mind. And why do it on Anna Musichuk? Because she's being harassed. You know, if it was a man, there wouldn't be any problem, would there? No, they go on, you know, abusing women. I don't know. There's just something about it. And, you know, it's getting to be more and more important to speak out, because nobody's, you know, less and less people are listening. So the people that are listening are the ones that care the most. And I made so many references to the Protocols of Zion. And then I can even make references to If I Were the Devil. And I've played If I Were the Devil on here. And let me know if you want me to play that again, because I would like to do comparisons on that again to other things that I'm seeing. Like what we just talked about, that thing I just read about the war against women also. And how everything is progressing in the world. So I think the more we know about, yeah, I'll prepare that for next week. That's what I'll do. And I won't even have enough time to cover the Pequot massacre today, because it's kind of a long clip and I don't have time to cut it in half today. But I will talk about this, about oral tradition, the tragedy of oral tradition. Most people don't understand the tragedy of oral tradition. And if I may, it's going to be really sacred sharing this with you. Yeah, I loved it too, Annie, the first time I heard it. And it's so relevant. You know, I'm thinking of, if he was the devil, what's the first thing he would do? You know, tell the children to be what? Promiscuous between them or whatever it is. You know what I mean? It's everything is falling in. It's exactly what they're doing. Why the drag queen stuff happened, why they're teaching sex ed at third grade, right? But hey, you know, Luca, are you a teacher? No. Well, shut up. You know, you're not part of the school system. You don't. Okay. So let's look at oral tradition. Okay. And how it was trusted and how it was hoped and prayed for by the elders that the young would continue these oral traditions. And they were not written in some book somewhere. Oral traditions. And church and state knew very well. And oral traditions were among the most powerful tools the Indian had. And they were the most sought after weapons to destroy because of its power. The church and state were literally trying to get the kids. That's one of the biggest reasons why they started the residential schools, get the kids as young as they can away from their parents and stop this nonsense, right? Washington, and I found the meme. Washington even says Indians and wolves are beasts of prey, both of them, though they differ in shape. Okay, be unrelenting, merciless, and destroy them all. And kill the children, especially because we know that all gnats make lice. That's what they were saying about the Indian nations, okay? We've heard this. I've talked about it before. The Pequot Massacre talks about it next week. But you're going to hear good stuff. And this story, believe it or not, is going to end on a good note. This next story comes from the heartbreak, from actually that, from old tradition, and how once it's gone, it's like blown in the wind. It disappears forever. It's gone, and it's forgotten. And I cannot understand why more people aren't more in arms, or up in arms, pardon the pun, or angry about this, because we should be speaking more about it. You know what? It's against government, Luca. It's not cool. It's against the status quo. Okay. Well, I'll bet you Fernando Lebrado didn't know that I would be talking about him and his life and attributing honor to his existence like I'm going to. He looks black, okay? That's how dark-skinned he was as far as an Indian. Chumash, the Chumash territory. Really beautiful story. And this is straight out of either a book or online where I found it. And anybody can find this if they look. But see, they don't know to look, right? Upon my last visit to Ventura, California, I saw the last Ventura Indians. They were living in a tiny hut east of the mouth of the river. One of the old men told me they were very, very glad that I was not ashamed to talk my Indian language. They told me to continue in the use of it and keep the beliefs. And if I did so, I would live a long time. Fernando Lebrado lived to be 111 years old. Listen to this. I once went over to Donna Siena's house. I wanted to learn the swordfish dance. After the meal, I had asked her to teach me the old dances, saying, "For you are the only ones who left that know the old dances." Donna Siena began to cry, and I left without saying nothing more. Okay? Because they're gone. So you know what Fernando does? Interestingly enough, and I wonder if I can show this picture too, while Steve is on there, because I really want Steve to see it. If I can find it in small format, I'll be looking for it. Anyway, if I can't, I'll send it. I'll send it. No, I don't have to send it. I'm showing it to Steve now. There's a picture of Fernando Lebrado holding the sticks and performing the swordfish dance. Okay, why? Because, and this is why the story ends well, Fernando Lebrado, knowing that he was going to lose these traditions, fought long and hard, went asking to so many different elders that were still around in his searching and in his hard work, like I'm trying to do. And guess what? His hard work pays off as if a miracle. right? And it was shown to him because he knew the tragedy of his people. And maybe it was shown to me also because I was searching for the truth of the tragedy. So I find the original piece of this writing that says, you know, I'm devastated, I'm lost, and I leave without saying anything, because that's what they do when they're hurt or when they're cross or when they're, when something happens to them, and, you know, they just turn around and walk, or they sit in the corner and close their arms and they just don't say anything. I found the happy ending, you know, and there he is, this gorgeous picture performing and demonstrating the swordfish dance himself. And he's upright and proud. It's a gentle reminder to my spirit, maybe, that, you know, not all bad things end up really bad, right? At least that's my hope. The most destructive thing I have ever done is believe someone else's opinion of me. You remember that one from Teal J Blue or Teal Blue Jay? I said J Blue. Teal, T-E-A-L, Blue Jay. That's what he said. Let me say it again. The most destructive thing I've ever done is to believe someone else's opinion of me. Remember I told you about when I was 16? I was in the same room with my mother and the lawyer talking to her. Talking to themselves about me as if I wasn't there, right? And he says to her, you know, children like him, and he literally points to me, and I'm right there. Children like him just, you know, end up committing suicide before they're 18, ma'am. You know, what's it going to be? Ritalin, Valium, right? Amazing. Free yourself, Luca, from what other people think. Oh, boy. That movie Avatar... okay, taught me more about that than anything. Any movie, well, that's not true. The Last Samurai is very close. Those two are really close. But if you look at Avatar again, if you watch the movie again, notice how the lead role, okay, look at how he, you know, they laugh at him. They knock him down. They tell him he's full of it. They tell him he's not supposed to. Every single time somebody says something, he lifts his head up. Okay. He ignores it completely. It was a really, that's one of the most important teachings for me as far as my life goes about boundaries. That was what kicked me in high gear. Hang on a second. No, nobody's going to hurt me and destroy me like that. And it really helped me out big time. Free yourself from what other people think of you. Free yourself from trying to convince others. That was a big one for me too. It's not, you know, it was never about them. It's about you. That's how I am. Oh, I have my favorite movies. I have a very specific set of movies that I bought on DVD for a very specific purpose. And I don't have any other movies in my house. I have maybe a handful of the best movies I have ever seen. Some I've looked for years, and that's it. So, remember how I was sharing about how we have to stand in front of the whole world, if we have to, by ourselves, and say, yes, you were all wrong. You know, because that's what we're there to do. It's like, yes, you have to have the strength to accept that you're wrong. And if you can't, well, forget it. That's basically the lesson as far as I see it. If you're fighting that, then ego is your problem. Because as far as if I can sit there on a radio show and have somebody call in and completely contradict me and say, Luca, you're wrong in what you said. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. Well, let's talk about it. You know, I'll research that next week. You can call again and we'll talk about it again. Fine with me. See, that's what the guy in Avatar was doing. You know, what do you think? You could come out here to some of the most hostile environments on, you know, on the planet, and with no experience, what was going through your mind? And the guy answers the doc. He says, maybe because I was sick and tired of doctors telling me I couldn't do it. That's one of them that I learned by heart from the movie, right? It's like, you know, why don't you mind your own business, dear, and stop judging, you know? Really, really good line. So I'm learning all this stuff from you know, so many different sources. Don Miguel Ruiz was another big one. Don Miguel Ruiz and his four agreements that I just want to share. I'm not going to read it all, but there are four of them. And just like there are four rooms in spirituality, he calls the four agreements out. One, be impeccable with your word. And I've said that before. When I talk about the truth, remember with the eagle feather, and I'm saying that if you keep talking truth, every word that will come out of your mouth will end up being only truth. So as far as the natives are concerned, you become truth. That's how cool it is. So you stay with truth, and you always end up being, developing yourself as becoming truth. So imagine being impeccable with your word. I see that's exactly what it means to me. Two, don't take anything personally. Oh my God, story of my life. Don't take anything personally. Oh boy. You know, I have something right in front of me that says, it's all your fault, Luca. It was always your problem. You're the problem, Luca. That's what I was told all my life. All my life. And here it says, don't take anything personally, Luca. Well, okay, I have to climb a huge iceberg on that one. Nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality, right? It's got nothing to do with you. When you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering, Luca. Huh? Three, don't make assumptions. And boy, have I learned that one. Assumptions are the mother of all screw-ups. Assumption is the mother of all screw-ups. That guy comes from another movie. always do your best. That's a big one. Always do your best. Yeah. And that I will always do. I will always promise to every one of you to do my best. And it's really important to keep doing our best because, you know, if you look at it very simply, and this is another meme that I love sharing by Craig Crippen. He says, okay, we're being presented with a choice. Either we evolve or we remain. You know, and I can see remain going around in circles, going around in circles, going around in circles, going right, right? Okay. Or evolving. It's like a spring. It'll go outward and you're going to go bigger outward, bigger outward, bigger outward every time. That's, you know, and it's just like being in a relationship. If you have the same fights, you have the same thing going over again, the same issues over and over, that's what's going to happen. But if you learn from each other, if you learn how to avoid them, if you learn how to know when the triggers are going to happen, you learn how to avoid them, you learn how to work together, then you're going to evolve big time.
Hey, Luca.
Yes.
Don't forget your time.
Yeah, 58. Uh-oh. Am I babbling again? So choose to evolve, right? We need to choose love big time. Is that the end of my show already? Is that what you're telling me? Do I have to leave? Are you throwing me out, Steve? No, I did start my timer 1 minute too late. So, I'm really honored to be here. And thank you so much to everybody for allowing me to keep doing this. This is a lot of fun. And we'll see you next week, same time, same place, same bat channel, is it? Same time? Anyway.
Same bat time, same bat channel?
Yes. Yes. There you go. And Steve and I will learn not to cut each other off because of the timing. It's difficult. Anyway, thanks so much, everybody. We'll see you next week. Be safe, everybody.